Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are a wonderful Father to us, Lord. And on this day, we thank you, Lord, that you're here. And again, Father, that anyone that this is a hard day for, Lord, we just pray that you just pour your love and grace upon their hearts, Lord. Those that maybe recently lost a father or Lord, maybe there's many years ago, Lord, but still feeling that, Lord, I pray that you touch them, Lord. And Father, for those that are single mothers here, Lord, that well, there's not a father around, Lord, I just pray, Lord, you lift them up, Lord, and champion them, Father, Lord, because they're a wonderful blessing. And Father, for those that maybe don't have a father around, Lord, let them know your love this day, Lord, that you truly are the wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we commit things to you now, Lord, and we pray that you be with us as we open your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, certainly it's Father's Day today, and obviously want to talk a little bit about that this morning, but again, it's good to be here in the presence of the Lord. Excuse me, on Father's Day, we realize that not every father is a perfect father. There's a lot of imperfect fathers, and excuse me. There's fathers that do the very best they can. We really honour father. That we really need to honour our fathers, a natural father, whether they're a good father or a father that maybe struggled in some area in their life. The Bible's full of fathers that probably weren't the best fathers. In the scripture, you look at Moses, he sent his wife and his kids away. He just sent them away. He was too busy. You had David, who was a father, the one mighty King David, but as a father, he failed in that he had one of his sons rape one of his daughters, and he said and did nothing about it. And so he was totally absent on something that he really needed to deal with. And we have Samuel, mighty Samuel, the mighty prophet Samuel, but then his children that were in total rebellion and very wicked sons, and he never pulled them into line. He let them steal from the people when they're putting the offerings in. Even beforehand, they would grab, take before, and yet he didn't intervene. And so there are imperfect fathers, but whatever our father was, if our father was a good father or maybe a father that just had a lot of dysfunction, maybe struggled, that we do want to honour fathers. And certainly want to encourage young people that to honour your father. And it tells us in the book of Ephesians to honour your father and mother, because it says, for there's a promise with this, the first commandment with a promise that you'll have a long life if you honour your father and mother. And that's really important, that we're very respectful to our fathers, that we listen to our fathers, that we obey our fathers, and that we honour them, we treat them with proper respect, and be grateful to your father, be considerate of your father. So young people, I encourage you to do that. But I really want to not so much focus on natural fathers, whether our father is a great father, or maybe, as I said, a father that struggled in some way, a broken vessel that maybe did the best they could in whatever way they could. But I really want to talk about our Father in heaven. Our theme this year is Heaven Invades, and I really want to talk about the invasion of love, the love of the Father in heaven, that was just pour his love so much into every heart, every person here today. And whether this is a happy day or not such a happy day, that the love of God to be poured in every heart today, because he is a great God. There's a scripture in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, and it says this: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Now just think of that word, lavished. It means to abundantly, excessively, above what's required, just pouring out the love that the Lord has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. We came into relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ. When we gave our love to Christ, we become the children of the living God. And he's not a distant Father, not a disconnected Father. He's not a dysfunctional Father, but he's a God that loves us. And he's lavished his love, poured his love upon our hearts. And as I said, my prayer is this day that we would know the love of the Father, that he will pour his love afresh on every heart this day. Whatever is in our heart, whatever is in our mind, whatever is going on within us this day, that the love of God will be poured upon us, because he is a loving Father. And if he is the very personification of love, he is love. The scripture says God is love. And he wants to pour his love upon you and every one of us today. That's his heart. And there's another wonderful scripture where his love comes in and invades in such a powerful way. in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, and this is what it says. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given us, who he's been given to us. And so I pray that we today really just tap into that, that the love of the Father in heaven, the Father that loves us so much and has such a heart for us. He wants to pour his love upon every one of us today fresh. At the end of this service, I want to just pray for us all that God will just pour his love upon you in such a fresh way. Even now, even as we're hearing the word of God, that God's just going to pour his love, let his love wash over your heart and fulfill your heart, even on a day such as today. The thing about God being our Father, that's how God wants us to relate to him. He wants us to relate to him as Father. And it's an interesting, we have a world that at the moment is very strongly attacking identity. Even the whole sense of gender is certainly under attack. We have a society where they have children now, little preschoolers are now being encouraged to find out whether they're actually born in the wrong body. Little children have been asked that, have been asked the question, oh, maybe you feel like you're a boy in a girl's body, you're a girl in a boy's body. You know, this whole idea of identity, who we are, is being challenged. And little children, as they get a little bit older, they give them puberty blockers so that they don't start puberty. And then later on, they give them hormones and end up sterilizing those children. And it's a terrible thing that is happening in this world. And the American College of Pediatricians actually calls that a form of child abuse. But unfortunately, that's where our society is heading, where the whole sense of gender and identity is certainly under attack. They have now what they call gender ambiguity and also gender fluidity. Gender ambiguity, which you can be... I'm not sure whether I'm this or that, and I can be this or that, of fluidity, where they just change. One day, no, I feel really feminine today, and next day they feel really masculine. And they're actually saying that there's not just male and female now, they're saying there's an unlimited number of genders. And whatever spectrum you want to be, you can be whatever gender. You can be have no gender even now. That's what they're trying to teach. That's what they're trying to put through, even in universities, where some of the universities are, where if you put he or she, if you're actually using gender pronouns in your assignments, they will mark you down dramatically for doing that, trying to change our language so that we're not allowed to say he or she, but now we're supposed to use gender-neutral terminology to say they. And even words such as father has been seen as an offence. Even last year in Adelaide, when Father's Organisation, Dads for Kids, I think was the organisation, they had an advert which celebrated fathers in the lead up to Father's Day. It got banned because it was on about fathers and talking about fathers. Isn't that such a tragedy that this world is affronted by the fact that the bottom line is biologically, men, we've got that Y chromosome, and there is a difference between men and women, and they're trying to do that. And don't think it isn't trying to permeate the church as well. In Washington, excuse me, in the Episcopalian Church there in the United States, and particularly in the Diocese of Washington, that they just a couple of months ago, actually, well, in July, they've just had a ruling there, and they're now bringing into the fact that they've got to have gender-neutral pronouns when they're even in church, when they're talking. And so even Jesus, they don't even refer to Jesus as he. So that's permeating even into the areas of the church as well. In Sweden, that they're not allowed to talk about Father, our Father in heaven. They're not allowed to say that in the church of Sweden. I'm not saying the whole country, but in the Church of Sweden, predominant, strongest church there, they've now got... The law is now that they're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to talk about that. And so they have the main. They talk about mother. They can have our mother in heaven, but not about father. And so they're actually trying to break down this whole sense of in humans and identity. And it really is an attack from the enemy. We see that attacking our society. And certainly a day like Father's Day is a really important day where we celebrate fathers. We do need to do that. Don't let the world tell you that father is a dirty word. It's not a dirty word. It's actually a very important role in society, which every study, psychological study, have proven that the role of a father is so incredibly important in the life. And so we're not going to allow our language to be diluted down in such a way. And God actually wants us to relate to him as father. Now, God himself, obviously, he doesn't have chromosomes. He doesn't have X and Y chromosomes, and doesn't have that. God doesn't have a beard and other characteristically things that are male. God is spirit, the scripture says, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. And so he's neither male or female in that sense. However, the way that God wants us to relate to him is as father, as the father and the father and the son. And that relationship between the father and the son is a very deliberate thing. You find in the scripture that the scripture talks about the Lord being father over 170 times. It talks about him being father. And there's a few instances where it gives some analogies or personifications where it talks about like a mother, a hen gathering chicks and how it protects her chicks, how the Lord does that. But these are analogies that are just used, and there's only a few of them. But the way that God wants us to relate to him is as Father. He is the Heavenly Father. He is our Father. And it's important that we acknowledge him as Father. That's how he wants us to relate to him. It's not man's idea to relate to him as Father. It's God's idea. And he wants us to relate to him as Father. And it's important that we do that, particularly in a world that is attacking any sense of gender identity. But God wants us to relate to him in such a way. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the relationship between the Father and Son is really important. And the Lord, obviously, that's how he wants us to see how the Father and the Son relate and how he wants us to relate to him as his children. And so it's really important that there's cults that are going around talking about Mother God. In fact, you know, when I was in Philippines a couple of years ago, I put on this show and there's a guy preaching and they had some, you know, stuff, and I thought, oh good, it's a church service, I'll just watch this. And then I'm getting this people getting up and testifying about Mother God, and then this pastor, and it's quite a big cult actually, and it's such a perversion of the Word of God. He is our Father. God wants us to relate to him as Father, and it's important that we understand that and relate to that. Some people maybe struggle with that because their own human father, maybe because of their own frailty or failings of their own human father, maybe they struggle with that concept. But God is not a frail human. He is the perfect Father who knows how to love us completely, totally, unconditionally. And so we need to understand this Father that we have in heaven. I just read you this is just a quote from a book called Our Father in Heaven, Christian Faith and Inclusive Language for God. And this is someone that is actually making a stand against what's trying to creep into churches, even trying to change the book of prayer that they use in liturgical churches, and then trying to bring all these things in. He says this, and this is by a guy called John Cooper. Linguistically, all the clear and plausible instances of the feminine reference to God are imagery or figures of speech, similes, analogies, metaphors, and personification. There are no cases in which the feminine terms are used as names, titles, or invocations of God, and thus there are no feminine pronouns for God. There are no instances where God is directly identified by a feminine term, even a metaphorical predicative noun. In other words, God is neither directly said to be mother, mistress, or a female bird in the way he's said to be in the same way as he is, but he is said to be father, king, judge, or shepherd. And so we need to understand that on Father's Day, that we have a Father in heaven, and he wants us to relate to him as Father. And God says that. If you have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 8, it says this. He says, I will be a father to you. And when you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. No more clearer statement than that, that I will be a father to you. He will be one that is our defender. He's our protector. He's the one that is going to lead us and hold us and guide us and protect us and lead us in the right way, which is what a father does. One is going to give all of the things that we need to look after us and wants the best for us and provide for us in such a way. I will be a father to you. And you will be my sons and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. And there's a beautiful scripture. I love this one too, particularly on Father's Day. Because look, I had the privilege. My father was around until I was about 21. And so I had a father growing up. But there are those that don't have fathers, that they don't have a father in the home. And that can cause a real aching in the heart. It can make it very difficult. And so, you know, there may be those that are here that are in such a situation, as I said. And if you're a single mum and you've got children and you're trying to, I honour you and I applaud you for what you do as you bring up your children. The best thing you can do is bring them up in the ways of God that they may know the perfect Father. But for those that maybe are growing up without not having a father around, and maybe feel ripped off or maybe feel that there's something missing, something unfair that's happened. But the Lord is such a gracious God. He is such a loving Father. This is what he says. This is a description of him. He is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is the God in his holy dwelling, a father to the fatherless. And so maybe for those that don't have a father around, and by the way, there's no perfect father because there's no perfect person. There's no perfect father. Every father is flawed in some way, but there is a perfect heavenly Father, and he steps in. And for those that maybe feel that, look, my father's not around, or maybe you didn't have him growing around, and maybe you're feeling that now, maybe your father's passed away and you feel like I have that hunger, that need within me. Well, the Lord himself says that he's the one who steps in. He is the father to the fatherless, and maybe some that are even remembering fathers even right now that have passed away. The Lord says he is the Father that steps in. And those emotional needs that perhaps that we have, that need that we have, then the Father himself will step in and be the Father. He'll be the covering. When maybe you can feel uncovered, maybe that sense of safety and security that a father will bring, and maybe you don't feel that, well, the Father himself, he steps in and he brings that covering. He brings that sense of safety, that security. And so truly, as ones that as we become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we give our heart to him and we then become sons and daughters of the living God, then those deep needs that we have, the Lord himself will fill that. And it's his love that is poured into our heart. If we've truly let the Lord flow his love into our heart, then there's no little empty spaces. There's no little parts that are just, there's this void, this hunger, this void that maybe this natural father, that there's no spaces that are left unfilled. When God pours his love into our hearts, he fills us completely and totally. And that's why even someone that is without a father, or even as a widow without a husband, even as the scripture says, that the Lord is able to fill those empty places. The Lord himself will do that. That is such is the love of God. And God's heart is for us. He is the one that loves us so much. He's such a loving father. And he's a father that actually looks after his children. And I've said this many times, but God does know how to look after his kids. You know, the scripture talks, it says in Luke 11, it talks about, it won't come up on the screen, but he says about, you know, you even though that you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you, give the gift of the Holy Spirit to you? And God's heart is a heart, a giving heart, a heart to bless, to pour his love upon us. It says in James 1:17, excuse me. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. It does not change like shifting shadows. And we all have good days and bad days. Is that true? We all do. And maybe for some of you this is a good day, maybe some it's not such a good day. And we can be like shifting shadows in that sense. But God isn't like that. God doesn't have bad days. God's not going through a hard time at the moment. God's not struggling in some way. God is always there. He doesn't shift. He doesn't change. His love is constant and consistent. And we know our own natural love will change because we fluctuate. We know that. We're learning, we're growing, but God's love is always there. It's always constant, continual, and it's the perfect love that he pours upon our heart. And it says every good and perfect gift is from above. And so God is a God who gives good things for us. And as a father, look, as a natural father, you want the best for your kids. You sacrifice, you give anything for your kids. And you guard your kids. And don't mess with my kids. As a father, you will protect your kids. And God's heart is like that for us. God wants to bless us. He wants to pour his love and grace upon us. He says, every good and perfect gift. He doesn't give you a raw deal. He doesn't give you something that's second best. He doesn't throw you a leftover. He gives you the best. He's already given us the very best in Jesus Christ. He's already done that. He's already poured his love upon us in that way. And really, as we saw in that clip before, that clip of that love letter from God, it's so true, all those verses about God's heart for us. And really, the climatic gift of his love or demonstration of the love was the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he gave everything. I don't know, not many fathers are called to actually sacrifice a life or come to that place, but to give everything. But he gave everything. He gave Jesus for us. He came down to us and saw Jesus die upon the cross for us. Because that God's heart is, he craves relationship with us. He craves relationship with us. Those that fathers maybe aren't around, maybe there's that deep wanting relationship. Can I tell you, God's heart is so strong that he craves relationship with us. He loves us with such a passion. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to love us. And he wants to pour his love upon us. And we can see this in this. I always find this is a really heartbreaking scripture, Jeremiah chapter 3:19, because it shows pain in the heart of God. It shows hurt in the heart of God. God who wants to love, God who wants to pour his love so freely upon us, to lavish his love upon us and pour his love into our heart. And yet I read this passage and there's an ache in God's heart. And it's something that is deep and it's profound. And really, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, hear the heartache of God. Because he wants you to be his child. Because he wants to be your father. And he wants to pour his love and grace upon you. He wants to be the father that you've always wanted. He wants to pour his love upon you. But this is this cry in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19. It says, I myself said. Now this is the Lord Almighty speaking. This is our Father in heaven. I myself said, how gladly I would treat you like sons or sons and daughters and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance. Because as parents, we want to lay up an inheritance for our kids. How gladly would I treat you like sons and daughters and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought that you would call me Father and not turn away from following me. That wow, I thought that you would call me Father. God wants you to call him Father. He wants you to be his child. He wants to be a father to you. And there's this like aching and breaking in the heart of God as he's lamenting here over the children of Israel. He's saying, how gladly I would treat you like sons and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance. I thought that you would call me Father. And God wants us to call him Father. He wants us to honor him. And sometimes we think that of a title, the Father. And I've deliberately not called this the Father's love. I've called it Father's love. He doesn't want you to call him the Father. He just wants to be Father. He wants to be Dad to us. He wants to be Father. And he says, how gladly I would treat you like sons. And daughters is the sense in that. And give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought that you would call me Father. Let's call him Father. Let's worship him. Let's have that deep relationship. And not a distant father or a flawed father like a human father, but the perfect father that just wants to lavish his love upon us. And that's the heart. He wants us to have that relationship with him. And then there's this beautiful promise. Because the Lord acknowledges, well, look at the reality of life. There are broken people. And so there are people that aren't the perfect father, and there isn't a perfect father. And there's those that aren't the perfect mothers, and there's never a perfect mother. Because there's not perfect people. We're all learning and growing. But he says this beautiful promise, Psalm 27:10. He says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So the psalmist writes this, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. The Lord is always there for us. He will receive us. Sometimes you may feel unworthy, maybe feel unwanted, unappreciated, or whatever it is. But the Father in heaven, it says here, the Lord will receive me. And maybe you've felt rejection in your life. Maybe you felt rejected about from your own father. Maybe you felt that within your life. And the Lord says, I'm not like that. I'm not a rejecter. I'm a receiver. And I just want you to receive me, and I want you to receive my love. And that's my prayer today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will come to him. His cry is, call me Father. I thought that you would call me Father. He wants us to call him Father. He wants you to call him Father, to be in real relationship with him. And he will receive you. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to push you away. So let's stand to our feet. We've run out of time, so I'm going to pray for us this morning. And pray the Lord to just pour his love upon you. And whatever situation you've come in, maybe with a heavy heart because of a father that you've lost, or maybe a father that perhaps wasn't everything that they could be. Maybe you haven't had a father around, or maybe you had a fantastic father and you praise God for the blessing of that. Whatever the heart is now, my prayer is now that the love of God is just going to be poured upon every heart. So let's just lift our hearts before the Lord. Father, as we come before you now, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are truly the Heavenly Father. Lord, that we are your sons and daughters. Lord, we are so grateful for that. And Lord, for that love, Lord, that you pour your love upon us. Lord, I pray for every heart this day, Lord, that be just us a fresh dose of the love of God to be poured upon every heart right now in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we stand here right now, Lord, we open our hearts, Father, and we say, Father, let your love come upon our hearts afresh. Pour your love upon every heart, Father. You're the Father that lavishes his love upon us. And Lord, even now as we stand here, Lord, we just receive your love, Father. Lord, let your love be poured upon every heart. I pray that now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And as we sing this together, Lord, as we sing these words in just a moment, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we will hear the cry of your heart. I thought that you would call me Father. And Lord, as we call you Father, as we honor you, as we love you, Lord, let your love be poured so freshly in every heart now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.